speaking of PDQ, Lance McCullers will join us tomorrow in the 8 o'clock hour. John, I know this is not a standard Matt Take sort of thing, but I just wanted to get this before next week since OTAs open up. To me, the most interesting thing about OTAs for the Houston Texans is the fact that usually in OTAs, you install your offense and you install your defense. You do all that. They're going to be installing their offense without the most important person on their offense on the field in Deshaun Watson. What do you think about that?
Well, he'll be there. He just won't be participating in 11-on-11s. He'll be out there. He'll be in all the meetings. He'll be in the huddles. And they're just fine-tuning what they did last year, as he told us when they started the OTAs. So it's not like it's going to be new to him as it was this time last year. And he's been working, spending a lot of time working on the mental part.
So it's going to be Whedon working with the ones, and then it's going to
Whedon,
be...
Whedon, Webb, Stephen McGee, didn't...
Stephen Morris,
we landed him.
From Seattle, him. So yep. They've got those three guys who will be out there as well.
I feel like with the Texans, if you're a potential backup quarterback like Stephen Morris or anybody else, you have to feel like you got a pretty good shot given the injury history of Texans quarterbacks. Like, yeah, I want to go there. I'll get a chance for a game or two. Maybe throw the ball. I would do nothing but work with DeAndre Hopkins every chance I got. Just throw jump balls to DeAndre.
That would be fun.
You just step in for the Texans, throw like eight touchdowns.
You have a big margin for error when it comes to DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
So there's that. So what day does OTA, what day does it begin, John?
OTAs begin Monday. They have 10 now, spread over 3 weeks, and then they end with the 3-day mini camp, which is the only mandatory part of the offseason program.
So there's, I was supposed to be getting a report from my wife this morning. She's going to go check this place out for us. There's this new coffee place opened up in League City. It's called Double Cups. Let me
I
ask
saw
you,
that in the Chronicle yesterday.
Yeah, I'm reading this from the Chronicle.
Okay.
So it's basically, you know, they'll call Twin Peaks a restaurant.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out a way to call this, like, it's a barista-rant? Breast-easter-rant? I don't know what it is. There's something there. Something between barista, breast, and rest. But apparently it's young women in lingerie will serve you coffee. And I was watching a video of it. The Chron actually has, a video link to this here somewhere. I'm intrigued to find out exactly how this works out because it feels a little different.
It does feel different.
It feels
yeah.
a little bit weird and strange, like to be what is typically. It's one thing when you go into a Twin Peaks or something, you're sitting down, you're having a drink and everything. This is this would be like the hot oil massage parlor version of one of those places where you're just going in very quickly.
You get a lot of cleavage.
Is that what?
That's
okay,
a good
so somebody
point.
Based on, over.
Based on a picture we ran that I saw.
Okay,
based
on a photo.
Oh yeah,
this is news.
Yeah.
This is news.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's
by
a good
you,
cup.
John.
Double it's cups a, coffee.
It's a great promotion because look at the publicity they're getting.
They serve a Houston-based Cats coffee, which I think is pretty solid from the times I've had it. I would go to this place. I mean, I'm not down where you are, but if I happen to be down where you live in League City, I would
They've
check
got,
this out.
They've got frappes, hot and iced tea, fruit muffins, and Danish pastries. Danish pastries, mind me, which frankly is insensitive to Luxembourg pastries, but still Danish pastries.
My random take on coffee shops is there are a lot of them in Houston, and I feel like they do a great job of marketing or whatever because they're always freaking packed and you can't park at these places. I always feel, from my own taste, their coffee is a little bit too... dark for my interest. I usually like lighter roast. That's my random
take. If this one goes over in League City, obviously it'll be the first of more.
Yeah. Well, I think there's one in Washington State, so they're taking that
concept.
Well,
but they're having issues in that place, so they're trying to shut them down.
Yeah. I think they'll do a better job in League City.
Okay.
I trust your people.
What's it called again? Double cups. Double cups.
Yeah, double cups in League City for your coffee. All right, this is a wild story. Lucas Glover, the former U.S. Open golf champion, Lucas Glover and his mom sustained minor injuries. This is a serious story, but like this is sports radio, so let's just have some fun. Lucas Glover and his mom sustained minor injuries allegedly inflicted by Glover's wife in an incident that began after Glover failed to make the final cut at the Players' Championship last weekend. This is according to court and police records that USA Today obtained. So Krista Glover was arrested on suspicion of domestic violence, resisting arrest, yada, yada, yada. Lucas Glover told officers his wife began yelling at him, calling him a loser and cursing at him over his third-round performance as he shot a 78. The taunts came in front of their kids and Glover's mom, who tried to intervene, according to the police report. Lucas Glover told them that his wife tends to start arguments after he plays poorly.
Yeah.
That is a terrible story.
She called him a P-word.
Can you
really?
Imagine calling the police on your wife? And her getting charged with domestic violence. You don't see that a lot.
Yeah, but you have to. You know what? These days, I would say that that's a thing. If your wife is wiling out, if you married one of the real crazy whack job ones,
yes,
you got to call the cops.
You have to.
You can't let it continue.
Well, especially if she's
and then all of a
mom.
Sudden have the cops show up and like the situation has escalated and like you're defending your. You got to call the cops. You just flat to. So I can imagine doing it. I've been there. I've seen situations where the man had to call the cops.
That reminds me of that story in Friendswood this week in which the mother was watching her kids play. She was drunk and had to be taken away.
Oh yeah. Well, was she doing a bad job of it? How drunk was she? It's like, dude, if you're gonna tell me to raise my child without ever having a couple of drinks, then say goodbye to fatherhood for
me. Thinking about, you know, the embarrassment of situations like that.
Why was she taken away? Why was, like, how drunk was she?
Because she was making a lot of racket, according to the
chronicle. Oh, she was drunk.
At the children's play, and they found a bunch of bottles, empty bottles, and took her in, and she was kicking them and screaming supposedly set off the fire alarm at the jail.
Yeah, the problem wasn't that she was drunk. The problem was she was a bad drunk. You know, don't be a bad drunk around your kids. It's setting a bad example.
Is it bad that, again, nobody should be doing what Lucas Glover's wife is accused of doing? But one of my first reactions, my initial reaction to the story is,
oh, no.
No, this is not going to be that bad. I don't think. Like, I can't imagine a worse sport, a worse athlete to try to, like, criticize after they play poorly than a golfer.
Because
like
that, the whole thing, himself.
Yeah, it's a complete mental game.
Yep. Right,
it's a total mental, I mean, a tennis player, too.
You think about, like, okay, if you're a defensive lineman and you come home and your wife's like, what's wrong with you, you big P-word, and she slaps you, and then, like, he uses that rage.
Exactly.
Next where he takes it out on the field.
You can see that.
Where with a golfer, it doesn't work that way. You're just sitting there up, you're addressing the ball, and you're just like, my wife called me a P-word.
Why am I laughing?
Where's he from?
Glover? I don't know.
Where's his kin?
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'll let you know.
I'm going to read this straight from the Chronicle as well. Getting sucked halfway out of a plane window is the stuff of movies and nightmares, and it happens extremely rarely. But it did happen in mid-April, you all recall, when that woman got sucked out of that Southwest Airlines flight. Now it's happened again in China. In the municipality of Chongqing, passengers and crew sensed that something was wrong about a half hour into their flight in the Tibetan capital of Lhasa. We experienced a few seconds of free fall before it stabilized again. But that wasn't just turbulence. At the front of the plane, the pilot was fighting for the life of his colleague, who at that point had been almost entirely sucked out of the plane and was only being held back by his seatbelt. Suddenly, the windshield just cracked and made a loud bang. The next thing I know, my co-pilot had been sucked halfway out the window. He managed to pull him back into the cockpit, and the co-pilot only suffered non-life-threatening injuries in the drama that unfolded at 32,000 feet. 32,000 feet! I wonder, it seems like as a...
Your feet would freeze.
Your head was... What was sucked out, though? I guess his legs were out. I was thinking his head was out, but I guess his legs were out of the
It didn't say in a story, but you'd think it's supposed to be cold up there.
It is cold up there.
It's cold, but you got the warm air rushing out, and then the plane dives really quickly.
So would whatever part of his body freeze instantly? Would it take a few seconds?
Yeah, how cold is it? No, it's not like liquid nitrogen or anything.
Okay, yeah.
The story didn't address that part.
Oh, you got a few minutes.
Because when you do Kylie's thing over there at the...
That's 3 minutes.
Wait, what's this?
The athletic room.
Check it out. Cryotherapy, that's like negative 150 degrees.
Yeah.
And then you can survive that for a few seconds.
The first minute's pretty easy. Second minute's more challenging. Third minute's it's pretty challenging.
So you're worried, I'd be worried about the wind burn. The wind burn of going 500 miles an hour.
That's
and
a good
stuff.
Point.
Yeah. Well, good for you, Chinese pilot. I'm glad you're alive.
Real quick, I was alerted that we may have a Line 1 guest coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
These cause me stress.
Yeah, what's happening in the 9 o'clock hour?
I'm throwing a random one on you. I'm trying to make you guys uncomfortable. We don't have to hold them for long, but coming up in about 10 minutes, you guys are going to interview Justice Patricia DeMango. Don't quote me if that's how you... that's how you say it or not, but she is one of the three judges on the CBS television Hot Bench, the television show Hot Bench.
Hot Bench.
They have 3.2 million daily viewers.
Does she have a book coming out?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll do our
studying in the 5 minutes before the
interview. I'll send you the quotes.
Is the concept of sports gambling legalization kind of sort of that happened a few days ago?
It's a good angle.
Okay, it's a good angle. John, have you ever heard of the show Hot Bench on CBS?
No.
Okay. Do you have any questions you want to ask this judge that we should ask?
About what's he on there for?
She's just we'll do this thing where Landry will just schedule a guest and not tell us about it until a few minutes beforehand.
Yes.
So he scheduled this judge from the hot bench.
9 o'clock.
Apparently,
a random question. What's the last book that you read?
It looks like it's like some kind of. It looks like it's a people's court type thing, but where it's a tribunal instead of just one judge. There's like three judges sitting up
there.
You
guys are on your own that one.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of TV shows, as we continue Mad Takes here on Sports Radio 610, John McClain. In with us, ESPN Films and Netflix are teaming up for something called The Last Dance. It is a 10-part documentary about Michael Jordan. I'm assuming you guys would be interested in that sort of thing. My question will be deeper than that. So, 10 hours on Michael Jordan. What are the two or three things that you want to know most about MJ?
I want to know most when he played baseball those 2 years. Was he going to be suspended for gambling?
That would be question one.
That would have been the most important. Number two, why he's been so bad as an owner.
Why has he been so bad as an owner? Okay. I mean, it's weird.
I think 10's a little much for Michael Jordan.
10. I mean, basically, what the OJ one was, do you remember how many hours that one was?
And it was great.
It was terrific.
I'd rather see a LeBron than a Michael Jordan.
Well, it might take, well, I you have more, you have, you know, the career and the post-career. And the LeBron, I'm sure that stuff
father's
will come out
murder,
over time.
Was it gambling related?
That was another question I had, was his dad's murder connected to gambling in some sort of way? To me, like I wanna find out. Here's another thing I want to know: all those stories about Jordan being kind of a jackass and a bad person to other people. I want to see him confronted with some of those stories and see how he responds.
Will you get the answer to the questions we're bringing up since he's cooperating?
Repeat that one more time, John.
Since he's cooperating, are we going to get the answer to these questions? With OJ obviously not cooperating, you could get anything you want, but Jordan has signed off on it.
Yes.
So will it be as honest as it could be if he was not cooperating?
And if people are wondering, this documentary is going to come out in 2019. John, you have the story. Well, what do you have coming out today on Texas Sports?
I've got one coming out about the tight ends who we talked about earlier going to the OTAs. I've got one Friday on the offensive line. We'll have a column on Sunday. Aaron Wilson and I will have stories every day for TXN.com. Our digital destination that's $29.95 a year that you get only there and nowhere else. Thank you guys very much.
John, thank you very much. John McClain in every Thursday at 8:40 brought to you by, or 7:40 brought to you by Horn Solutions. So a lot going on in the 9 o'clock hour. We have our line one guest, the judge, who's going to join us at the top of the hour. We have no idea what we're going to ask her, but we'll find out how that goes. I have to do another hype up for Rockets and Warriors game two. Speaking of that, my good friend Mark Medina is going to join us at 9:40. He covers the Golden State Warriors.
You guys are a lot alike, by the way.
Are we?
Seth, this is like if Mike Meltzer had a twin personality-wise, this guy would be the guy. I met him yesterday. I'm telling you right now. Usually,
did he
Mike
get texts
has,
from multiple platonic friends? While
they
he
have
was
they have the same level of like nervousness. They have the same level of social awkwardness, and they both are like sports encyclopedias.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, my guy Mark will join us at 9:40 to set you up for Game 2 tonight. Mad Radio on a Wednesday. We grade a CBS Sports Minute in merely 60 seconds.